Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earl. And we're back, and it's back. The Premier League starts actually a week from today. Now, we're recording this show on Friday, August the 3rd. The deadline, of course, for the start of the season finishes on Thursday, and we'll react to that deadline. So we want to go over, my friend, don't we, all the major storylines going into the new season. There's a bunch of them. So much to talk about. Let's get cracking, mate. And I think the best place we should start, and where they deserve to be start, is with Manchester City. Last season's champions, 100 points, crazy 32 wins out of 38. Yeah. But how are they set with what they've done so far? And again, the window isn't closed yet. There's a few more days of that. But how do you think, Rob, they've set going into the new season?
Well, you've set the trend there with your opening. Manchester City, 100-point first time that's been achieved in the Premier League. 32 wins, 106 goals, plus 79 goal difference, and 19-point margin to second place Manchester United. What did they go and do? 80 million, bosh, Riyad Mahrez. So we now have Mahrez, Sterling, Sane, Jesus, Aguero, Bernardo Silva, De Bruyne, David Silva. I mean, Rob, he's gone again, hasn't he? He's decided that he's going to add another dimension to his attacking options, whether it be from wide positions. Mahrez can play both sides. Certainly seen him from that right-hand side that might affect Raheem Sterling. He can play central underneath as a 10 if needed. So he's poured sort of petrol on the fire. He's gone again. It's been so difficult to do in Premier League era, go back to back. But I think Manchester City start as favourites to win it again.
Yeah, I mean, they have to start as favourites. I mean, I'd be amazed if any kind of pundits out there, or maybe some fans as well, think that they aren't going to be favourites going into the new season. I think that Riyad Mahrez is... It's a lot of money, but I think he's worth it. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he brings, like you said, another player to come into that forward line. I watched him in pre-season in New Jersey, and he looks sharp. I think he might play him in midfield as well. But the overriding kind of thing with City is that they're young. They're young. They cleverly invested in young players from all over the world and get them in. I mean, they were big fees at the time.
Yeah.
But I think as we've seen the prices go forward now, Rob, and what they're at now, they looked so smart with some of the Sanes and Jesus and different younger players that have been brought into this football club. And that's why, you know, they don't need that many new signings because they're so young and they're so hungry, and you just see them rolling on again. The only thing I would say, Rob, and I get your take on it, is that I think City, there was to be so good last season, they had to be absolutely perfect, nearly in every game in terms of their attitude, the football, the flow, the tactics, and they were absolutely on point, and that's why the results flowed in. I just want to get your take on if something isn't quite right, if two or three of the players, Rob, are not quite as revved up for every Premier League match that we see every week, they could drop off a little bit, and their drop off a little bit, I think, really affects the results because, you know, they're so open. They have to be great. And I think if they're not quite great, they could concede some goals and lose some points.
They could. But I also then, Rob, look at I think some of the individuals you might talk. John Stones, I thought, benefited from the World Cup campaign with England and should start the season in confidence, albeit maybe hasn't had that much rest. Kyle Walker, I thought, came out of the England competition. Fabian Delph, you know, who were part of that growing. I think that gives them a confidence. Kevin De Bruyne going close with Belgium. I hear your point, and I don't think it's a bad point. I think in terms of motivation. I think to do it once, and we've seen it was brilliant, and we've talked about the stats and the figures they've had. Digging deep for a second time, hearing it again, there's always that thing, Rob, and I think when you're doing it, when you're trying to go back-to-back, is that when they get to a certain place and the manager says the same thing you've heard a year before, does it have the same effect when you've got a tile? We've seen it with Leicester City, a drop-off. We've seen it with Chelsea, a drop-off. Pep Guardiola's going to demand he's not a drop-off, but human nature sometimes reacts in a different way that... Oh, he's going on again. Oh, he's pushing me again. We've done it last year. Could there be a little bit of that around the group? That's all I could ask.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. And I think, you know, that there is potential for that. Also, you know, let's not forget what the main focus is going to be this season for them.
If he's a priority, and last season he was asked a question early on and he said it was the title. If Pep's asked the same question at the start of this season, do you think that's changed?
He might publicly say, of course, we always start with the Premier League title. It's the most important thing. But we all know now, Rob, they destroyed the Premier League last year. It's about bringing that first Champions League trophy to that football club. And that's what he wants. So you might see some changes. You might see some drop-off around those Champions League games. And with that, and with a little bit of Premier League drop-off, like we talked about, the other teams have suffered as well. It might just mean that they just go from amazingly great, winning easily, to they give up chances, they conceded some goals, they're not quite at it. That has to be what gives other teams hope. And I think it is genuine hope that this could drop off a little bit. Just one player, Leroy Sané as well, Rob. You talk about players that are motivated. You know, you talked about some that had good World Cups. Well, he wasn't there for the German national team. He, I would think, is going to be absolutely fired up to play well. He's well rested, of course, now. So, yeah, I mean, there's hope for the others. But when you look at the squad and you consider how brilliant they were last year, they for me, will be the favourites going into this season.
Yeah, and when you think of Pep Guardiola, it took him a year to have a look at English football, understand he didn't win a trophy, went on and got the double last season, obviously the Premier League. A couple of years now, he's looked at it. I think you're right. I think Champions League football is going to be the main focus. Maybe the likes of Mahrez comes in so they can switch things around and still keep the quality. And you've got to remember, they were eliminated by Liverpool in the Champions League quarterfinals last time around. He won't like that. An English club beating them. I think his focus and his attention is going to be landing that big trophy for Manchester City.
Just one thing that came out of the news today, Rob, and it suggested that Man City might just be in for one special player before the window closes. So, you know, it's a little under a week now for the window to close. Let's not, you know, they could bring in somebody else.
Somebody else.
Yes. Wow. So, again, as of now, it's just today the news came out that they might still be in for a special talent, a special player before the end of the window. Well, we'll have to wait and
fortunately,
see.
By Thursday, before a ball's kicked, Robbie Musto will know this year because it's the first transfer window, which is great, where every business has got to be done and dusted Thursday night, midnight, Thursday night, UK time. So we'll know everybody's squad as we kick off on Friday. We'll know what everybody's got and we'll see if Manchester City do have one of those big names to come in. Let's move it on to the other team in Manchester who, should I say, things aren't quite looking quite so bright for the red half of Manchester at the moment. I've had a difficult time pre-season. Obviously, a lot of the World Cup stars haven't joined the group yet. The manager's had his moments and not been pleased sometimes with what he's seen on the pitch or in terms of the quality of what's been happening for pre-season. Manchester United, Rob, are they likely to, A, finish second if Manchester City win it, get closer to Manchester City, or is there a possibility that the gap could grow?
Well, the gap that grow, I think with the 19 point gap, I mean, it's not going to grow, I don't think. But I don't think they're going to be the strongest challengers for Manchester City. I just don't. And with looking at their window at the moment, and we know what Mourinho is all about, we know at United he's had quite a few windows now and he's brought in quite a few players. But just to be at this stage, again, there's like 6 days left, just to bring in Fred from Shakhtar Donetsk at $67 million and Diego Dalot, who's a young fullback, Portuguese fullback. That, considering what's happened in Manchester City, It is just amazing to me. Now, I know, and we're going to hear a little bit from Jose Mourinho in a minute, Rob, but I know that Jose has said he wants two players to come in. Yeah. My question to you, Rob, right, and I know he spent a lot of money, why does he only want two players? Why is not Manchester United looking to bring in more than that? More quality, more defenders, more, whatever it is. So basically, just let me finish on this one, Rob. Yeah. So he's basically saying that just with two players, he is happy enough that this United team can go out there and catch City and win the Premier League title. Because just by wanting two players smacks at me like, wow, okay, you think you can do it with two players? Let's see it. I'm amazed he hasn't wanted more players.
Okay, I think to back Jose on this one, he's probably looking at his best team with his team playing well. So he's got David De Gea in goal. He's got a centre-back.
Bailly, probably, isn't it?
Bailly, probably. So maybe one more centre-back to go with him. He's got Valencia one side. He's got like sort of Young and Shaw the other. That's his back four. He's got a midfield of Matic and Pogba. Maybe would want another one in there.
Well, he's got Fred with him.
He's got Fred now, sorry, in there. Yeah. Then he's got Sanchez one side. He's got Lukaku up top. He's got Rashford. He's got Martial. He's got Mata. Another one play. If that group of players, Rob, with two, you know, what we're talking top-end quality players, were playing well, that's a decent group, but they haven't been playing well. They haven't been as expressive as we've seen. And I'm with you. I said during last season, this group of players, Jose Mourinho cannot win this title with this group of players.
Right.
Because this group of players cannot play the Jose Mourinho way, where you can't make mistakes defensively. You have to be solid and sound, and you counterattack with great pace and flair and get your goals. This team can't do it. They can do one or the other. They either sit back and defend and really get behind the ball and take the odd chance when it comes, or if they're expansive going forward, they're gonna make mistakes at the back.
I mean, you went through the team there, Rob. I would argue that right back Antonio Valencia, that can be better. That can be improved.
Can be better, but I don't think he's been a problem, Rob. He's been a good player for him, and again, last season, he's one of their better players.
He's had a go at him for coming back in bad condition. We saw pictures of him in the media, looked a little bit heavy, he's got injured. I think that's a position they could be a lot better. Left back, did you say Ashley Young? I mean, yeah, he did okay
last
year.
Or Luke Shaw.
I mean,
Listen, Luke Shaw playing well is good enough to play for Manchester United. He's just not been playing well. He's had problems with his weight.
But so by him saying he only needs two players, then I'm not sure he's going to get one or even two. But
is he trying to say, go and get me two big-time players, and right, with that, I'll go? Because if he's saying five, apparently he gave a list of five. He knows he's not going to get five, and he's probably saying, get me these two quality ones, and I'll go with that. And the thing is, Rob, it's like, there's nothing new here from Jose. It's a new season. There's a new challenge. There's a new he's got to try and break down that gap for against Manchester City. But it's the same old Jose. It was interesting, you know, all pre-season, he's really not had nothing good to say about Manchester United or his team. Listen to this.
This is not my squad. This is not even half of my squad. This is not even 30% of my squad. So what this game gave me? Nothing. Nothing at all.
Alexis Sanchez, sometimes he doesn't look very happy with the way that the team's playing.
Look, do you want me to be very happy with the players he has around him? We are not playing here to improve the team or to improve our dynamic or to improve our routines. We are playing here just to try to survive and to have some not very ugly results. Alexis is the only attacking player that we have, and the poor man is there trying his best. I would like to have two more players. I think I'm not going to have two. I think that it's possible that I'm going to have one. I gave a list to my club of five names a few months ago. And I wait to see if it's possible to have one of these players.
Rob, there's so much there that we could have a whole podcast to that. I mean, I'll just try and be quick. But the comments about, you know, you've got to feel sorry for Alexis. Look who he's playing with. It's not 30% of my squad. You know, we're not looking to improve in this tour. Well, the young players want to improve. I mean, there's been, you know, Mourinho has always been criticised for not developing young players. Well, the attitude he's got there, I mean, it tells you everything you need to know of what he really feels about the younger pros coming through and trying to help them become first team players. There was a there was a tweet that went out that was his comments very much like that, and then Pep's comments about his young Man City side touring the US. And
how
it was incredibly different. It was incredibly different. It made Jose look so bad. So I thought they were really poor comments. It's led the UK media to really throw some pressure on him. With those comments, Rob, how much more pressure has he put on himself, on his team, to perform right from day one?
But is this classic? And it's the question I wanted to ask. Is he already putting the excuses out there? I wanted five players. I only got one.
Well, he said he wants two.
Is he already sort of preempting, like, if we're not close, if we're not going for titles, this is the reason why? When you're manager of Manchester United, should you be saying those things? You've talked about the academy. We go back, and I know it's a generation, but it's not that long ago. Manchester United were developing young talent that came into the team that took them on to win titles after titles, European championships and FA Cups and the like. I mean, when you're manager of Manchester United, shouldn't you have a different responsibility at the start of a season?
Listen, I know where you're going, and you've said this quite a few times, Rob, about when you're at Man United and when you're the manager of this football club. And I know
it's different. It's a different football club, Rob.
It is a different football club, but different managers come into different clubs, and they do change. They shouldn't have to do it as it was done before. And I'll say that because I know he's doing it in a different way, and I don't like the way, and I didn't like him to take that job. That's my own opinion. But I don't think that managers should have to do it the same way as it's been done before. And I know that United's been huge, and I know that Sir Alex Ferguson was incredible for them. I'm less bothered about how he should do it. I'm more bothered about how he is doing it, and when he says,
but that
I
is the
want
point,
two players.
How he's doing it. How he is doing it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's basically, if I'm a young player at Manchester United and I hear what you said about Alexis Sanchez, it basically tells me this geezer doesn't like me.
He's got no interest in him.
So that's what he is doing. I'm saying in the past, if Darren Fletcher was at that football club, he would never play under Jose. Yeah, Jose, you know, if Wes Brown, if John O'Shea, if all those kind of players who had the moments, could have gone different ways, they wouldn't play under Jose Mourinho, yet went on to become important elements of squads that went on to win things.
It's his third season, Rob, isn't it? Manchester United with Jose Mourinho now. And we know what happens normally in the third season. He starts to implode. You know, are there the first kind of signs in these miserable rants in pre-season that he's starting to go that way? He's already thrown under the bus, by the way. His the Antonio Valencia, who's
the captain,
been a very good player. The captain plays at right back, saying he's partied too much. He should look after himself. We know the Anthony Martial situation, where he's criticised Martial for not being there when Martial for the birth of his child, and that's been a bit awful as well. It just goes on and on and on, where he's really critical with his team and with his demeanour. Now, going on to Paul Pogba, Rob. We've seen what he can do for France. We've seen what Paul Pogba can do for Juventus in a top club there to look outstanding. We've seen what he can do at France to be outstanding. Now, this puts more pressure on the manager to see why am I not getting the same Paul Pogba that France got, Deschamps got in there. So that's another thing that's going to be fascinating to watch, the relationship between those two players. Because, you know, you hear things, you know, a little bit of hearsay, I accept that. But the relationship hasn't been good. It's not good. He's not one of those players that's gone back early for pre-season training to help out his team. What do you think on that situation, Robin, and how Pogba was in with France?
I think we're now going to find out about the management ability of Jose Mourinho. And in the past, he's been a genius, and I've seen him work close at hand. It was close when he first came at Chelsea. How he built that squad, the kind of siege mentality that he had. It was them against the world, and honestly, players wouldn't run through brick walls. They'd find a brick wall, go through it, ask him which other wall they got. I mean, it was unbelievable, Rob, the way he had that group of players. Mm. I think the new millennial type of player is somebody he doesn't quite understand, he doesn't quite get. Paul, if we look at the two people, two big characters, Paul Pogba, Jose Mourinho, Paul Pogba's had a far more impressive summer than Jose Mourinho. Mm. Now, how does Jose Mourinho get the best out of Paul Pogba? Because, as you said, we've seen it at Juventus. We've recently seen it in the World Cup with Deschamps with France. So the best can be got. Does Jose Mourinho doesn't back down, because he doesn't have to, and he's a manager of the football club, and quite rightly, when he wants to say something, he should. But he almost has to
support
understand him a little bit more, support him, yeah, but understand this guy to get the best out of him.
I mean,
I'll just also say, if he doesn't, Rob, I think it starts to reflect more poorly on Jose than it does on Pogba. I think Pogba's had his stick, and people have criticised him, quite rightly at times, when he didn't take his responsibilities defensively. But I think we've seen a Pogba who does do that when he's in the right mood, when he's motivated, when he's in a good team, as we saw with France. Why can't he do the same at Manchester United?
Well, it's funny because for France in those last few games in the final and the semi-final and stuff, he played side by side in the middle of the park, and he did his defensive duties. Now that, to be fair, is what Jose's wanted all along. Now what Pogba showed us in the World Cup is that, you know what, I know how to do that, and I can do that, and he did it, and he got credit from us and from the media, and even Jose himself said that was a mature performance from Paul Pogba, so he can do it. Now, that's in a defensive role, and we all kind of say that he should be more of a one of a three where he can get forward. He wasn't that for the majority of the World Cup. So he can do a defensive role. So if he doesn't do that now for United, after showing everybody that he can, then it has to come back to, I don't want to do it for you, Jose. I don't want to work back, to graft back, because our relationship is not motivating me to do that. He's shown it, Rob. He's shown
his management. So that's the man management, the relationship between the player
absolutely.
And the manager.
Yes, that's it. He's shown he can do it. He can do forward, goals, assists, and he can defend, tackle, cover, and block.
Well, I think you then open up the bigger question, because if that becomes a case where you've got a player of his quality and ability not giving his all because his relationship with the manager, then you start to look at maybe Rashford. Is that a similar situation? Martial, does that become a similar situation?
I think it is with Martial.
Juan Mata, possibly, is that a similar situation? Luke Shaw, is that a similar? If you're starting to say 5, 6, 7 of those players who would be key in your team are having that issue with the manager, we're in a difficult place, Rob. We start to get in a difficult place then that questions have to be asked.
Yeah, we know it's a huge season for Jose Mourinho and Manchester United. It just is. I mean, after last year, you can kind of say, wow, City were amazing. United were the best of the rest.
Anything but second good enough for them? Anything but second and above? Is third place okay?
I think third place is not okay. I think it's not okay. If he finishes a third place and there's no trophy, I think it's difficult for the United fans to really believe. If somebody comes ahead of him now, if Liverpool do get ahead and he finishes in third or fourth, I think that'd be really hard for the fans to stick on his side. Just now, this is not a big prediction, Rob. What's your gut? Again, there's a week to go before the deadline closes. What's your gut on what United are going to do this upcoming season?
Funny, I was going to say the same. My gut is driven by the attitude of the manager, who's already giving me negative signs, negative thoughts. So now I don't know. This could be. Let me just throw this up. This could be classic Jose. By the way, we're all talking negative him, and they start the season well. They get the results that's required. Beat Leicester. First game out, and all of a sudden it's like classic Mourinho. Took the attention from his team, taking all the stick on him. But you asked me the question, I'll give you my honest answer. My honest answer is, I think this ends in tears.
Really?
If you're asking me now, I think Jose Mourinho will not be manager Manchester United by the end of the season, right now. That's what I'm thinking. That's what my gut's saying.
Well, that's strong, and that is in my thinking. But do you know what I do, Rob, when I think things like that? It's pretty dramatic. Mm. I do go back to the squad list. And I can't see, unless it goes crazy off the charts, like mental off the field problems, and it all falls apart, then I just see them as a top four side. My gut's telling me they're not going to finish in the top two. I don't see them getting any better.
Yeah,
I see others have getting better. I don't see them dropping out of the top four and it being that disaster and a firing. But I think third or fourth for Manchester United. That's what my gut's telling me right now, which isn't going to be good enough for Man United fans to finish third or fourth in the Premier League playing a defensive, counter-attacking style. We said it from the day he took the job, Rob. Jose Mourinho will be okay if he's winning and he's threatening
titles,
the top and bringing titles silverware to the football club, which he's done initially. But third or fourth with not entertaining football is not going to be good at Old Trafford. And I think that's where it's going to end up this season.
I'm afraid I don't disagree, mate. I think it's going to be a fascinating watch this year, Manchester United, not only because they want to get closer to City, they want to finish top, but the relationship between Mourinho, his group of players, the fans, I think, Rob, will have their say in that in terms of what they're seeing on the pitch and what in terms of attacking football. Plenty to watch at Old Trafford. We'll be there on Friday night for the big kickoff on August 10th. But, Jose Mourinho has got it all to do, but if one man can do it, it's a special one. Mm. Let's turn our attention to Tottenham, Rob, who've had a pretty sort of quiet, slow transfer window to date. There is talk that one or two, targets might be there. Pochettino signed contracts. A lot of the key players signed longer-term contracts, including Harry Kane. Move to the new stadium comes in. Talk about possibly one or two players going out of the door for Spurs. Alderweireld, there's been talk of Danny Rose and even Dembele could be people to leave the football club. Are you okay with Spurs? It's not a backward step at the moment. They've not bought anyone in. Is it a bit of frustration, Pochettino, on this?
I think it's a little bit of a backward step, Rob. I think you have to be moving forward. You have to be trying to improve that starting 11 and the squad. I think it's a worry. I think we do know that Daniel Levy, the top man at Spurs in terms of transfers, does leave it late. Jack Grealish is a player, the Villa midfield player, that I think would be a pretty good signing for them. You know, he's not going to be demanding fortunes in terms of wages, but could potentially add a little bit of quality to their midfield. We all know they're going to move into the stadium at some point after the first few weeks, I think, and that will give them a boost. But, Mauricio Pochettino, Rob, isn't one to get carried away or to be too down or to be too emotional about anything. But you just get a little bit of a sense that he would like some new players, that he is a little bit frustrated with the transfer market. We've really enjoyed Spurs over the last two or three years, and they are young, and they have, as you said, they've tied a few of the better players down to long contracts, which is incredibly important. I would be surprised, Rob, if they don't get anybody. I'd be really surprised if by next Thursday they haven't got at least one player in there. It's just you need to keep momentum. Where's the excitement now? Is at other clubs at the moment? Even though Chelsea and Arsenal, are disappointing seasons, you feel there's some excitement at City. Of course, it goes without saying. At Liverpool, there's incredible drive and excitement. At Spurs, don't let it just kind of go stale a little bit. But we'll see.
I just think they've got to be careful that they don't rely on going into the new stadium that Harry signed, that Pochettino signed has been, that's us. Everybody in this league is continuing to improve from bottom up. Mm. And I always feel for a club like Spurs, even if it's not, hopefully, it's difficult to go and get somebody who goes straight in your first team and improve you that much.
It's really
much.
Difficult.
There's probably the next level down of either a young player or a player who comes in. And I always think that for me, Rob, I've always liked when somebody new comes in, it changes your dressing room a little bit. The dynamic's different. Things just change. It just peps things
it
up a little
pep
bit.
Things up
keeps
a little
somebody
bit,
on their toes and all that. And I just think that's one of the important things at Spurs. It doesn't in any way become stale. It doesn't become sort of rhythmic where you know what's going to happen week in, week out. You know what the manager's going to say. You know how this player's going to play. I just think it's important. And Youngman's son, he's going to miss, isn't he, the first few weeks of the season? Hasn't he got to go back for some...
The Asian Games Asian or the Asia games. Cup. There's a few tournaments, actually. And maybe a national service that's going to affect upcoming season. They're trying to do deals, I think, with it
correct,
right now.
To try and get him in play. So that's there's another player missing. Mm. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if maybe one or two, even a loan signing or something, doesn't just come in and change the dynamic there. Because it's a funny one for Spurs, isn't it? I mean, over the last couple of seasons, finishing in the top four, finished second, second and third. Now, what success for Spurs all of a sudden? I mean, I keep focusing on a domestic cup, Rob. I keep and I know that some people will say, well, FA Cup or League Cup. I think for this group of players, moving into that new stadium and growing, you know, Harry Kane has come off Golden Boot for the World Cup. I think it's the next step for this group to win something together, to have a dressing room that's won. That's not just had good players. It's not I've got the Golden Boot winner. It's not what, you know, in the team of the year, but it's actually won collectively something together. Mm. So we talk about the team of 2018 who won this trophy or did the domestic double or whatever, whatever. I think it's time that we have some headlines now for Spurs rather than just good football and good players.
They've been the nearly men, haven't they? They've been the nearly men, and we've enjoyed that progression. We've enjoyed what this man has done at this football club. Yeah. It's been fantastic. But I absolutely agree with you, mate. It does come to a point where you've got to have that day out with the fans, celebrate something, celebrate winning, seeing that team lift a trophy, what that brings to the players. Just a side note, on the new stadium, of course, we know it's going to cost them millions and millions and millions. Is that or is that restricting their spending? Is that why? And could we see going forward not much money? I mean, Arsenal had the same issue with their new stadium. And I don't know. It's difficult to know because Daniel Levy is so difficult.
Available now, isn't there? There's more money in the game maybe than the Arsenal scenario in terms of TV rights and obviously the price of tickets and things. I mean, it shouldn't do, Rob. You'd like to think it wouldn't because it's what's been put on the pitch and what's been delivered is so important to making a success moving into the new stadium. So, I mean, you'd like to think they've done the numbers. And I would have thought Pochettino would have wanted some assurances going in, signing a long-term deal that he's going to be able to still be able to get some money and improve his team as they go along. So, again, another interesting one for Tottenham. It's difficult to sort of say what success for them. If they're not going to win the title, then it's got to be second or third to keep up with the form they've had over the last few years. But certainly some silverware of some kind, League Cup, FA Cup, would be great. Champions League, they had a great run in last time out. We'll be looking for something similar again.
Do you think, just finished up on Spurs, do you think, I mean, and I think, to be fair, I've got Spurs wrong quite a few times in terms of predicting what they do. I've kind of felt that, you know what, they're going to drop off a little bit. The challenges are going to get ahead of them. Do you worry that this is the season they drop out the top four with the changes in other clubs that we're going to talk? You still
I'm
fancy
okay,
for
that? Because I think with all the changes at other clubs, I think one or two of them might not go as well. And I think there's a consistency and there's a knowledge, there's an understanding at Spurs that's important. Yeah. So, no, I think they'll be in the top four. Mm. A team, Robbie Musto, who were in the top four last time around, made the Champions League spot, ended up in the Champions League final. There is talk that this time around, Liverpool should be aiming for the title. Where stand you, sir?
Well, I'm in agreement, mate. I think there is excitement. I think the signings have shown that they mean business. Big problems in the team have been addressed. There's no question in my mind they are going to be better because of the signings that they've made. Alisson from Roma, as a world record fee as a goalkeeper, makes them better. I mean, he just does. Now, whether you think that's 6 points, whether you think that's 12 points, you know, of course, new goalkeeper, new league, I get that, and there might be some teething issues, but if he's what we think he is, that saves them 8 to 10 points. I do like Naby Keita in midfield. I'm going to throw it all out to you right now, Rob. I do like him, and what I've seen in pre-season, he can do a little bit, and he is different to the other sort of players in midfield that Liverpool have got, with energy, with forward runs, with skill, with end product, with goals, with assist. I think that's really exciting, and you know you've got Jordan Shaqiri that's coming as well from Stoke, $17 million to come in, that little bit of quality, that little when players want to rest. There feels like it's momentum growing at this football club with the final of the Champions League. For me, they're going to be the strongest challengers to Manchester City. And you remember what I said at the start, like if City just have a little bit of a, you know, if they decrease that level or effort by 5%, I think Liverpool could be the team that's ready to pounce. Their pre-season hasn't been negative and awful, like it's feel like Manchester United has been. They've given a lot of players time. Fabinho's got a lot of time in there. We saw Mo Salah come back. I watched him score a goal in New Jersey and look sharp.
Yeah.
Sadio Mane, Rob, looked as sharp as a razor in that game.
Trying to get him signed a long-term deal as
I am. I am very, very looking forward to what Liverpool can do. And if they get off to a quick start, you know that whole city, or the red part of that city, can get excited about it.
Are we almost at the stage where they should be going for a title now, Rob? The kind of money he spent, the quality. I mean, the one thing I used to look at Liverpool was say, you know, their first 11, but outside of that, there's depth in this group now. You've mentioned, and a couple of players I want to mention, Adam Lallana was out with a lot of injuries, is back fitting around the first team. My old friend Daniel Sturridge, Robbie Musto, you can't get rid of him. He's like chewing gum on your shoe, Daniel Sturridge. You can't get rid of him. He's hung in there again. He's scoring goals again. He could have a part to play if Liverpool go deep. Let's say he plays in cup competitions and he can rest some of the other guys in other games. Daniel Sturridge can still score your goals and still keep you the quality in a front line that might be important. So I think that's what Jurgen Klopp has had. Two and a half seasons now to look at English football. He knows what it's like going away from home. He knows it's a Tuesday night. He'll have his moan about the fixture list and all that, but he now knows his team should be prepared. The physicality should be ready. It's almost like it's time now, Rob. 1990 was the last time that this football club won a title. And you think, I know there's been the Manchester Uniteds, the Chelseas, the Arsenals, the Manchester Cities, but there's been Leicester City, there's been Blackburn Rovers who've won titles. It's time for Liverpool to get the name on this trophy. And you know what, Rob? If City are to slip, Liverpool have to be the team who are ready to make the most of that slip. If they're not, I think it's not bad from Liverpool's point of view, but you know what? It might be the missed opportunity. Leicester took their opportunity to win the title when everybody else had their issues and not sorted out. If Manchester City have any issues, have their focus on the Champions League, Liverpool have to be ready to step into the breach.
Well, we know they've got an amazing front line. We know that. And it's been funny how, I think I said this before, where he seems to have built from the front to the back. Yeah. Well, this summer was the farthest back you can get in terms of the goalkeeper. So
A goalkeeper who can catch the ball. That's a huge thing for Liverpool. You can catch it and you don't give silly goals away. I mean, well done.
Yeah. What about the only position, Rob, that might be suspect is that other centre-back. So we know that Van Dijk is a full season of Van Dijk, by the way, as well, is going to make them better in terms of that total points
number. The other guy.
Number.
What about the other guy?
Between Lovren, that was okay, and Clavan and Joe Gomez, and there's one other, isn't there?
Matip.
Between those others, you would think that the form of one of those is going to be strong enough to keep this, you know, not to
it should be,
mean
yeah.
that they don't win it because of that position.
It should be. It might be a bit of mix and match. It might be between the four, you've got one who can do a job.
He's in great
You'd
form.
Love a partnership, Rob, in all honesty. If I'm going for that, I'd love a partnership. Somebody next to next to Van Dijk who you think, that's sorted. But listen, you can't have everything, and Lovren had a decent World Cup, as he was telling us all on social media. Gomez, I think, is an interesting one. If he can focus his mind, he could end up being a decent centre-back for them. Matip's had his moments. At times, has shown good ability. And Clavan, I think he comes on and does your job. It's going to be rotating for different competitions and playing the best four. In an ideal world, I repeat, I'd love to go and get one. I think that completes it. But, listen, Leicester won it with Morgan and Huth as a centre-back pairing. So, there's enough there, Rob. There's enough. That's not going to be an excuse for them if they don't get it done. So I'm with you. I think it's time. It's right. Just a little word, actually. I have to feel a little bit sorry for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Rob. We hear that his knee rehabilitation's gone not as well as they would have liked. It looks like he's going to miss the majority of that season. That's a loss and a miss for them.
Yes.
A guy who, towards the end of their season, was coming into his own, missed the Champions League final, obviously missed the World Cup with England as well, and is going to miss a big chunk of this season because he just brings a little something different. I know Keita maybe has got a little bit of that. The bullish can break forward and good pace and dribbling, but Oxlade-Chamberlain, again, would be another important member of your squad when you're going for maybe four trophies.
Yeah, and finally on that, I suppose, Lallana is coming back, Rob, and he's different again.
It's just different.
I watched him in pre-season and he just looks a little bit short at the moment. If he can get back to his very best, which we did see under Jurgen Klopp for a moment of time, that's really exciting. But you know, he's got a little bit of ways to go, but that Lallana could be really important.
Isn't it funny how and again, I'm not pointing this at Jose, but just how two managers are, you think of Liverpool and you think of Manchester United, and there's just like a hope, isn't there, at Liverpool? There's something exciting that you're looking forward to this season.
Yeah.
And I would think Manchester United, and listen, hopefully their fans will tell us what they think. They can get to us on the Two Robbers and let us know, but it can't be a season at this moment you're thinking you're particularly looking forward to.
And just quickly, Rob, let's just like real quick for listeners here. I'll tell you what I feel about that. If my manager is miserable and is down and is critical, I tell you what, as a player in that dressing room, I when things go bad, I'm not sure I'm going to roll up my sleeves and scream at my teammates to get going. I'm just not sure I'm going to do that. And that's for me, like, you know, I feel I could do that with nearly everybody. But what do you think? I mean, this negativity, I just think if a few bad results go, players could lose him.
It's a very different kind of relationship where I think he's one of those, you don't have to like me, just respect me. Just do what I say, let's all get on with it and I'll win your trophies. He's a matter of fact. Anytime there's an argument, Rob, he'll tell you how many trophies he's won, where he's won them and with what team. And that's this is that guy.
He's just got to keep the players
on board.
He's
emotionally invested in it all. He hasn't moved into Manchester for whatever reasons. He's still living in the hotel. He manages a football club. His job's to win trophies. He's done that so far in the past. We've got to see if he can do it again. But just the feel and that kind of look,
I know,
the club just feels very different at the two clubs in the Northwest, Manchester United and Liverpool. But we'll wait and see where they both finish.
Right, let's move on, my friend.
Yeah, changes afoot in London.
They are. Two teams that finish out the top four, of course, Chelsea and Arsenal, both change their manager. They are going to see big changes, I'm telling everybody right now, in terms of what you see and how they play. Yeah. Let's start with Chelsea, Rob.
Yeah.
Antonio Conte was fired in July and former Napoli manager Maurizio Sarri is taking over. Now, I am particularly excited, interested, fascinated to see what. Yeah, I mean, just a quick story. The Champions League last year, Napoli played Manchester City.
Yeah,
I think it was in Naples. There was other big games that match day. So I watched. I don't even know it was now. Other match days on that Tuesday and Wednesday, whatever it was. And my buddy, who's an Italian guy, said, "Did you see that Napoli Man City game?" And I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "You got to watch it." And I did, and it was the best game I think I saw the whole of last season. His football, that team plays, it was like Guardiola football, Rob. And I'm telling you now, I'm not sure whether you saw it or not, they outplayed City for large periods. Now, I know City won the game actually quite comfortably, but Napoli's style was brilliant, breathtaking to watch. Now, lots of changes, a different team. Of course, it's going to take time to get that style, but I'm excited to see a very, very different Chelsea, Rob, than we've seen for many, many years under managers that have been more defensive first and counter-attacking.
Well, I think the first thing, Rob, is and I've seen a couple of pre-season games for Chelsea, it's a back four.
Yep, 4-3-3, that's what he likes.
Conte went in there and won it with a back three, so it's going to completely change. And you know, just tactically, technically, how that changes the relationship with the two of the centre-backs, with two full-backs sitting next to him rather than the three centre-backs who maybe spread across the width of the penalty box, all that, you know, which two centre-backs are the right two playing in that system, so all that's going to be worked out.
Yep.
Midfield, as we know, an area of, you know, will there be two in there? Obviously, Conte and who else plays in there? Jorginho's been bought in to the football club. You know, Seth Fabregas, where does he play? And then, you know, I look up front and I just straight away, Rob, look at the centre forward position for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And 62 goals they scored last season, which was the least of the top six teams. Alvaro Morata had a sort of hot and cold kind of season. Started the season well, getting goals, and then his form dropped, got a few injuries, looked like he wasn't 100% and didn't play that way. Olivier Giroud came in, was important to them, helped them win the FA Cup's gone on and won the World Cup now. Does Olivier Giroud start it? Is your centre forward? He's always been a great backup. Is it time for him to play? You know, so who's going to get the goals from? Who's going to be the focal point of the attack? Yeah. I think as much for Chelsea, it's about who they've held on to. And at this stage, we've still got, what, four or five more days of the window. But Hazard's still there. Willian's still there. Courtois still there. So that they've been important parts for them. So with Chelsea, I always think, Rob, we see, like, good Chelsea. Well, we see great Chelsea go and win things, like win titles. Then we see indifferent Chelsea sometimes the season after. Not quite sure which Chelsea we're going to get this year. It's a little bit of a head scratcher for me. Can't quite work this one out.
Well, it's difficult when there's so much change. I mean, when it's new. I mean, Eden Hazard, and you talked about it a little bit there. I mean, he is critical. I mean, he's absolutely critical. Oh. Now, he has said pretty much that it feels like for him it's time to move on. And Real Madrid, of course, are looking for a new star player. I think that's what he wants to happen. Now, whether he's going to talk, I think, over the next day or so with Mauricio Sarri, with other players that might leave. If Sarri
can't persuade.
I think he's one of them, Rob, and this is on an individual basis that you have to say to him, you're not going, mate. I'm sorry, you're not going. I just don't think he's that guy to drop his tools and not work for the manager.
They're talking about giving him the captaincy and making him the highest paid
player. If I'm a Sarri, I'm saying, just give me a season. Be all in with me.
Correct.
For a season. I guarantee you're going to enjoy the football because he loves that sort of football.
Yeah.
Tiki-taka football that Hazard can enjoy with Jorginho, who I think is going to be an outstanding midfield player, one of the outstanding midfield players in the Premier League. I think he's going to... I just love him as a footballer, as a passer. So, there's, of course, right now with the window, with these star players that could potentially move on, it's difficult to kind of figure out how they're going to do. But my gut feeling, if all the players stay, I think Courtois actually might be the one that might is on his contract runs out.
Yeah, they're talking about maybe Schmeichel, aren't they, or somebody from.
Yeah, if Hazard plays, if Hazard stays. It will be about the strike again, as it was last year. But I just think it's going to be fun to watch. I think the football's going to be different. I think Chelsea fans are going to enjoy it. And I think they're going to have a really good season.
Yeah, and I just think at Chelsea as well, in some clubs you get worried about change. Chelsea, change doesn't matter, Rob. The statistics and the record show they make changes and they win titles.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped them in the past, and Sarri will believe it won't stop them going forward. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see what his effect is at Stamford Bridge and Chelsea. Another change, Rob. The great man's gone. The pyjamas are no more. Sir Arsene is resting and watching. Unai Emery is taking charge of his football club. What should we expect at Arsenal? Should we expect change? Will we learn a little bit more about this club and this group of players with a new man in charge?
We should expect change. I think we are going to see change. I think you get little snippets of sound bites from players. Hector Bellerin has talked about it already. The things are very, very different. They're training harder. They're running more. There's more physicality. They're in the gym more. There's more tactical stuff. He's already said that they're working on defensive things more than they have done before under Arsene Wenger. That's what we expected. Unai Emery, for people who don't know him that well, I watched him coach in Spain for many years. He is a live wire. He's fired up. He's got fire in his belly. He's going to be bouncing around a little bit on the sideline. He's one of those guys. And he's going to demand that this team works hard. He wants them to work hard with and without the ball. And that, if we've said it a million times, Rob, about what Arsenal need, they've got great front players. And in Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, I think he could be golden boot.
Yeah,
he's going to be top three for me. I mean, he's already shown it in Arsenal. His numbers, you know, goals per game is very, very good.
Yeah. Can he play the two of them, Rob? Can he make that a strike pair with Lacazette?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be a three, and I think Aubameyang will come in from the left-hand side. And I ain't got a problem with that. The wide forwards have, in the last two or three years, has been the story.
So Aubameyang from one side,
from the left
Lacazette through central, the centre,
and maybe Ozil from the right.
Ozil or Mkhitaryan from the right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the three midfield players, the blend of those guys in there. Mm. Again, I think the new boy, Lucas Torreira, I've had a little look at him, Rob, on the various videos online and a little bit of what I've seen him play. He's a little terrier. He's a little feisty, he's a little guy, but he plays like N'Golo Kante. I'm not sure he's got the same physicality or the engine, but he's aggressive. He intercepts, he tackles. He's kind of what they need in midfield, to make them better in there.
A little rat around, yeah. And I just think it's the first chance we get, Rob, to look at it, the attitude of these Arsenal players. And we've said, I mean, we've sat in the studio many a time talking about Arsenal and that, and you said on a number of occasions, give this group to another guy and there's title-winning potential there. There's a better team in there than Arsenal's shown. Now, whether that was to do with complacency, whether it was too long his reign, who knows? He's moved on now. But it's the first chance we get to see 21 years, Rob, since somebody else has done a pre-season with this group of players and got them in. If this team can find a way of being as difficult to play without the ball as they will be with the ball, then we've got half a team. We've got a team. Whether they're good enough to win the title, I'm not quite sure yet.
No,
but certainly top four, it should be the priority, getting back to Champions League football.
Yeah, that has to be their target. I think if all things go well, they've got a great chance of doing that. Again, it's tough to see who you're going to drop out of there. We go back to these other clubs, I think it's just exciting to see change. Now, for the Arsenal fans, it might not be as silky, you know. And the teams that he managed, I watched a lot of his Valencia and Sevilla days. It wasn't a team that you thought, "Well, this is a silky." It just isn't. It isn't a silky style. Mm. It's more of fast, of attacking, of energy, of pressing, of, you know, and that's different. And that's what, for me, they've got to find more balance on that side of things. So with those front players, with the changes he's making now, I think they're going to be a lot better. The only thing you'd say, Rob, in terms of the signings, right, just a note I've got here, there's nothing really knock your socks off signing, is there, for Arsenal? I mean, I like Leno, but Leno and Lichtsteiner, we know all about. He's a free transfer, and he's really a winner, playing for a right back. Papasotopoulos, I know from Greece national team, and Torreira. They're all it makes sense, but nothing that's kind of stunning. Do you worry about that?
Less, because I don't think this group is short of stunning.
Yeah, it's got a few.
I think it's short of steel and hard work and effort. And look what N'Golo Kante brought to Chelsea. I mean, left Leicester, but brought it into Chelsea. We've seen him do it with France. Sometimes that's the infectious. And maybe you say Torreira's that guy who can instigate that.
Yep.
But they haven't been that short of real quality. I mean, centre-backs, I suppose you look. I mean, these talks, he's looked at the likes of Holding and Chambers and seen enough in them that he's been impressed with them. Maybe we'll see a bit of a breakthrough in one of those younger players coming and playing more games. Mm. But I just look at Arsenal and think, this is a progression now. It should be top four this season. I think we're looking at a 3 to 4 year plan to be ready to win titles, and that's where they've got to be. I don't think it's just going to click the fingers, Arsene leaves, he comes in, new regime, it's all going to happen. I think a little bit like Jurgen Klopp, it might take him a couple of seasons to get it where he wants, to understand the league, to get the balance right, and make a few mistakes that they might go the wrong way, but then this team should be ready to challenge again for titles as they have in the past.
No, I agree, Rob. I think this transition is going to take a while. I don't think there's going to be that. It's just they went back a long way. I haven't got the number now, but they were sixth last year. There were a lot of points behind. I mean, almost 40, I think, behind the top of the champions. So there's a lot of making up there, and he can only do a certain amount. And these signings will help, and the balance of the team will look better for me. But in terms of challenging for the very top of the league, that's going to take a little bit of time. But listen, we give the guy a chance. He wasn't a kind of knock it out of the park type of appointment in terms of the manager. But I like him. I think he's going to bring what they need, and we'll see how they go. I'm excited to see them this season.
Yeah, look, good noises coming from training ground. Yeah. The little bits of snippets you hear from around that, you know, the work ethic's been different. Players are enjoying it. You know, it's fresh and sharp. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to for Arsenal. No Arsene Wenger, no pyjamas this season, but maybe the Unai Emery pyjamas can get an outing depending on their start. That's the top six, mate, as ever. We'll just have a look at maybe a couple of the best of the rest. And we've got a... tip our hats to Burnley, finished seventh, 54 points for them, which is a magnificent return. Sean Dyche hasn't done that much business at this stage, transfer window. They're in the Europa League, got through the qualifying round, first qualifying round game against Aberdeen, which was quite tight, but they now play Turkish team in the third qualifying round, which for a team and a squad like Burnley, sometimes can be a bit of a hindrance if you're not going to get through. And even if you do get through, you've got that Thursday night football and that travelling that does affect your Premier League form. So what we'd expect from Sean Dyche and his group? I mean, can they repeat their kind of form and be the best of the rest? Or would we expect to drop off that might be natural for a team who maybe give everything last year?
Yeah, I think you've got to expect to drop off, Rob. I mean, I'd be stunned. I mean, seventh place last season for Sean Dyche and Burnley was incredible. Absolutely incredible, really. I think with the Europa League and the extra, you know, duration of the season, I mean, it just makes it long, long, long with the qualifying rounds. They're into the third qualifying round next. No signings. Not much business, Rob. No major senior signings been made by this football club.
I mean, it hasn't been done yet. They were looking at Klukas, weren't they, I think, was one of the deals. Jay Rodriguez is trying to bring in.
I think Jay Rodriguez would be a great signer for them.
I think there's a profile, and there's a mould of Sean Dyche type player, and I think they both kind of fit the mould, and there's talk that he's trying to bring one or two of those in before the end of the week, which would make sense, would add to the group, would give it a little bit more quality, a little bit more depth that might be necessary. But it's interesting. I watched a preview of some of the teams of the season, and there was one with Dyche, and he was talking about working with his players, and now he knows when to really push them through their pre-season training. Then he also sometimes gives them a day off. He says, I like them to rest and come again. And he said one thing that really stuck with me. He said, you know, these group of players now understand what's required to, A, survive in the Premier League, which they've done, but also to have success in the Premier League. He said that we've kind of got two strings to our bow now, and that's important to us. If and when we had to go into survival mode, we do know how to do that if we have to. But we also feel we're better players now and that we can play. And I thought it was a really interesting thing to say. And I've been there as a player, Rob, at times where you've had to fight and scrap a little bit. Then you get a bit of a better team, a bit of confidence, and you play a little bit more and you think, this isn't bad as well. And I just think they could find themselves in a good place, Burnley, if they can sort of hang on to that confidence and get a decent start to the season.
I think it's a fascinating comment, actually, you know, about almost like learning what it takes to survive and learning and watching and experiencing what it takes to finish seventh and what that difference is. Now, you know, you say that we've been there and I've been there when we feel like we're an established Premier League side with my Middlesbrough, but it wasn't long or it didn't take much to have you struggling again.
I know we
give credit and that's a great comment about learning as they go. I would just say in my experience, we felt that, but flipping heck, when things go against you and a couple of players don't work out or somebody gets injured, you quickly can be under pressure again in this league. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Burnley because you've got to respect what they did and the players that they've got. It's just it isn't much of a line. I've said this a million times before on this show about you know, that line of winning and losing regularly. It's a very, very narrow little band there.
You make a really good point. What I would say with this group, though, Rob, and I looked through the group, and I saw a couple of the preseason games, and it wasn't much change from Lowton one side, Ward the other, Tarkowski.
Yeah, very, very similar team, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Cork in midfield. They had Hendrick. They had Vokes and Woods.
Woods.
With that group of players, Rob, maybe slightly different from your Middlesbrough days, and maybe slightly different from, say, a team like Stoke. you kind of know what you're getting with a lot of those guys. Yeah, those guys have kind of come together and like, you know, no one's going to get, Chris Wood's not going to get big time. Sam Vokes isn't going to get big time, man. You're not start chasing fullbacks and doing that. You've got a different mentality of player, and that's why I think Sean Dyche does such a good job of his recruitment, because not only ability, you've got to be a Burnley player. You've got to, there's no big time Charlie's going to Burnley.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, and that's a brilliant point. And part of the reason we fell apart a little bit is because we did go a little bit big time. We did bring in a lot of star players that didn't gel very well with the rest of the squad. So you're right. That's a great point, and I think that should make sure that they don't get in too much drama. Though I got to be thinking that a top 10 finish for them this season would be excellent, in my opinion, with handling Europa League if they get through to the first, well, the group stage proper.
Let's move it on to a team who finished eighth, who at the start this time last year, Rob, we were talking about excitement, Ronald Koeman spending money, a team maybe that's going to break into the top six. Didn't happen. Koeman went. Allardyce came in. Fans not happy with the football, but he saved them in the end, and they finished commendable eighth. But things starting to look a little bit more positive, I would say, from an Everton point of view. Marco Silva's come in, the man that they originally wanted and then took the time to appoint. He's now in charge. They've done a little bit of business. Some will say exciting. Some would question maybe some of the size of fees. Where do we stand with Everton? Is it time to get a little bit more optimistic with their chances?
Yeah, you have to get a little bit more optimistic. It's about Marco Silva, isn't it? It just is. It's about him. And this, again, the stuff that you read from players and former players, that he's a brilliant coach. Yeah. Well, we're going to see it now, because this squad looked very, very uneven with the sort of players they had in different positions. They're getting rid of some of those. David Klaassen, I think, went, didn't he? He's gone recently. Yeah. Of course, Rooney's gone now.
Yeah.
So there's been a little bit of culling of this big squad with all those players that came in. And it's happened so many times where so many players, or lots of new players, go into a club. It doesn't bode well. Richarlison for I think it's upwards of...
$52 million.
I think it's more than that. I think that number's been 45 million pounds, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's like 60, 70 million dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 21-year-old, and of course did great initially at Watford under this guy, Marco Silva. I mean,
Richarlison, is it? We've seen four or five games of good. Remember the day he was at Chelsea where he was outstanding, created chances, had a couple of chances. And then we've seen poor, we've seen emotionally kind of distraught. We've seen head down young lad who looks like it's all a bit much for him. I mean, when you pay that kind of money, Rob, you're expecting big things. You're expecting a match winner.
And
you're expecting giving the ball and he can go and take the game for you.
Or it's expecting somebody that you know what you're going to get out of at Everton. Now, if one of the biggest boys in the Premier League spend $60 million on a 21-year-old, you know, you sort of say, well, you know, he's one that hopefully he's going to be a big-time guy. But for Everton, spending that sort of money, they need him to be a consistent performer with output, with goals and assists. And
I mean, for that money, I've got to tell you, I would have taken Zaha from Palace any day.
For similar kind of money. I think it's a risk.
I want to just point your attention back to Marco Silva on this one, because I was a Marco Silva fan, and I think you kind of wised me up and said, okay, but we've had 6 months at Hull where we saw some good things, but Hull got relegated. Yeah. We saw 4 or 5 months at Watford, started well, dropped off, had a poor run. The Everton thing they saw when he came in from them might have affected him. Yeah. We don't really know Marco Silva is, do we? We don't know over 12 months what Marco Silva can do or does or lasts, or does it get much too much for him? I mean, this is a great opportunity, but also a big chance for him to either put a marker down as to being a very, very good coach that I think he is, or maybe he's not quite the guy that you know, has been built up over a few months. We've seen a small body of work, but nothing that we can really bang on to.
Well, I mean, you talk about a risk at Richarlison with that sort of fee. I mean, the manager, Marco Silva, is a risk. And and we don't know. We're going to know in the next 6 months. We're going to know what he's all about, because we know the squad. We know how they struggled and they got better last year. So we know a lot about this. There hasn't been a lot of change. They had a new director of football. Marcel Brands came in, wasn't there, Rob, from Dutch football?
Right. Yeah.
And I just got a feeling, because there hasn't been that much movement in terms of the market, that between him and the coach, they're just kind of feeling around what they've got. It's just that the window closes. It's the first time. It's before the start of the season. The World Cup. It's a little bit. It's really difficult. It's really, really difficult, and there hasn't been much movement. So we are going to find out what he's like as a coach, because it's a similar kind of squad. You know, we'll see with the tactics. There's pressure at Everton. I always feel that club, the expectations are really high. It, you know, we've been there. We've played there. It's real close to the football pitch. We're going to see what he's all about, Rob. And my gut's telling me he's going to do fine. He's going to do absolutely fine. He's not going to be smashing on the door of the top six for me. But you know what? After what they've gone through the last 12 months or so, play some good football, get the fans on board.
Yeah,
you know, get your main man Richarlison now scoring goals. Figure out a system. Figure out a reasonable team that we know what's coming out each week. It wasn't that, of course, in the early stage of last season.
Some consistency to it. Yeah.
And top eight. I almost think
eighth finish with decent cup run, playing good football, and some development in terms of where the football club are going. I think is really what success for Everton right now.
I mean, they finished eighth last year, Rob.
But it was the way they finished eighth, wasn't it? I think finishing eighth, playing decent football, hopefully having a cup run, maybe getting a couple of those young players, Rob. They've got a lot of very good young players at that football club. Maybe Marco Silva's seen some of them and thought, you know what, I'm not going to load up with players. I'm going to give these players a chance to come through. The academy's produced so many talented players at that football club. Maybe we see a bit of that. And as we know, we're fans, they love one of their own. They love to see good football, especially the Everton fans, and I think they'll live with that if they see progression and what's the next stage, rather than the kind of football they've not liked, the kind of manager who hasn't really connected with them, and so, you know, it was always going to be difficult for Sam Allardyce to keep the job.
Do you know what, Rob, when you look at the list of the Everton players, and I'm just looking at it right now, they have got a big squad.
Let me read some of
these attackers: Bolasie, Richarlison, Morales, Kevin Morales, Sandro Ramirez, Vlasic, Theo Walcott, Cenk Tosun, who's probably going to be the main guy, Niasse, Ademola Lookman, of course, Calvert-Lewin, the young players you talked about. There's a lot of players there. You know, they probably got
one or two. Bolasie possibly. Yeah, Bolasie possibly going out the door, wasn't
it? Sandro Ramirez. I'm not sure what his future is. And again, there's a few days left yet. But maybe we shouldn't be that surprised that not many have come in, because there is a lot of particularly attacking players to sort through. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, moving on from Everton, team who not that long ago were winning titles. Leicester City finished ninth place last season under Claude Puel. Brought in the likes of Johnny Evans, James Maddison, who's been brought in to be the new playmaker, Ricardo Pereira, Danny Ward, his goalkeeper. So, you know, reasonable signings. Johnny Evans, I think, is good business. Lose another big-time player. Riyad Mahrez are out the door now, when you think of the likes of Kante, Drinkwater, and Mahrez. And if you think of Robert Huth now missing from that title win team, these... been a lot of quality left that football club, Rob. Where are we with Leicester? Is their ambition now just sort of mid-table survival? Is that a good season for them?
Sadly, I think it is. They get fired off for me, Robin. Bit worried about them. I mean, you know, we know that Johnny Evans is a reliable guy. Saying that, he's injured right now. Yeah. Ricardo Pereira, it makes a lot of sense as a signing at right back from Porto, $29 million. Yeah. And James Maddison, I mean, England under 21, very highly rated, very good for Norwich City at $32 million. You need him to hit it off. You really do. I mean, another club that's lots of players there. I just worry a little bit. I mean, Mahrez hasn't been amazing since they won the title, but another quality player that's gone, and you're bringing in young players to try and get it going again. There's a little bit of sense that Claude Puel maybe isn't the fans' favourite with some slower possession football that we enjoy to start with.
Yeah.
But if the goals don't come, it can get a little bit old quickly. So I'm a little bit worried for Leicester, Rob,
It's Slimani and Ujo, are they still sort of hanging around? They were hanging around. You've got the likes of Demarai Gray, who maybe has a chance. Felicia Iheanacho's not quite worked out, but he's talented.
But he'll probably start, Rob, won't he? He'll probably start. Jamie Vardy with the England stuff. I mean, that's right. I think Iheanacho will probably start.
Good start.
With Maddison playing in behind, maybe Damari Gray on one side.
Some young players, Rob, we never know how they go, and Claude Puel will give them a chance. So, it's a tough one. I just think when you it's a bit like the Southampton scenario. You keep selling your better players, eventually you're going to find it difficult. Yeah. There's even talk that Kasper Schmeichel, between now and the end of the window, you know, could even go out the door himself. Harry Maguire, who had a great World Cup. You know, there's a lot of talk that Manchester United want to try and get that business done before Thursday. Yeah, so
that would be a disaster, wouldn't it? If they lost him.
Absolute disaster. So hopefully they can afford to keep hold of their best players. It's just whether they decide to. Mid-table for Claude Puel, I think it is good enough. I think they'll be too good to go down. But I get the feeling that, like you, if things don't start so well, the fans might be out for Claude Puel a little bit on that one.
I just want to hit on Newcastle United, Rob. I know we're going to get to the newly promoted teams to finish off the show. Yeah. Newcastle United, Rafa Benitez, contract expires at the end of this season. His owner, Mike Ashley, wants him to sign a new contract. He's saying, why would I sign a new contract when you're not giving me any new players or very little money? Can Rafa Benitez keep this going with Newcastle, with this squad? He had amazing, well, they 10th last year, weren't they? I mean, are you, just the comments recently, you know?
No. You can't, worrying. Rob. You can't. It's a worry, and Rafa will know that. It was almost a miracles what he did with his squad last year. I mean, you know, they weren't huge goal scorers, but they got their goals. He made sure defensively they were sound, didn't give too much away. Had to lock games down at times and play in little 10, 15-minute spells where he thought, right, we'll go for it now. Then he locked it down again. I mean, he did everything that he could in his powers, of his experience, to get this table to finish 10th in the table and mid-table. He then has a blow. He goes on holiday. He probably thinks, right, let me bring in 4 or 5 quality players who can help these players do this again. We hear that Dubravka signed, hasn't he? There was the loan signing, the goalkeeper. Muto is the Japanese forward. I think he's been done now. He's come in. We'll have to see how he fares in the new league. But very little business. I think they brought one more defender in.
Fabian Schär they brought in, didn't
that's
they?
That's it, yeah.
I think a centre-back. Kennedy returns another loan spell from the left-hand side. Ki Sung-yong came in on a free transfer from Swansea. And they sold Alexander Mitrovic to Fulham. So... yeah, I mean, again, it's not a lot to make you think that it's going to be any easier.
And some of these guys last season were probably playing at their peak, Rob, to keep Newcastle in the league. Now, for those guys to dig the same place again, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be the opposite scenario of maybe Pep at Manchester City, where he's asking his players to go again to win it all. Rafa's got to ask them to go. And just sometimes, even mentally, when you know... you have less possession in the opposition. You're sitting back. You've got all that ahead of you, Rob. You've got 38 games where you know it's not going to be that enjoyable, even often on days when you win, because you don't win by big enough margins where you can be 3-0 up and oh, I can relax a bit today. We're okay. I mean, every minute of Newcastle's season is a nail-biter. And I just think that Rafa deserves and wanted a little bit more quality to make the job a little bit easier, to give himself a better chance. And as ever, the owner seems to not be willing to do that. And again, he'll do brilliantly to keep them up. That's what
this. I don't think he's the sort of guy, right, to walk away.
No. He would have done that by now if he'd have wanted to.
Yeah, he's got one more season. I think that's it. There's no way for me, unless there's an owner that comes in over the next 12 months and like, there's guaranteed money and everything else.
I bet he loves that club.
Well,
I think Ashley pretends he wants to sell it. I think he's got one of them. He keeps pretending, you know, let me dangle it out there. I think he actually likes it. He doesn't want to sell it. Honestly. He's got a manager who will keep him in the league.
I know, I mean, he's got a brilliant manager. He's so lucky. He's so lucky right now.
Well, he might not say he's lucky. He might say that's good management. That's what I do.
Yeah, brought in the right people.
Good business.
Yeah, I think it's going to be his last season. I think he'll move on afterwards. But I think it could be it's going to be a difficult season again for Newcastle United. 10th place last year was phenomenal.
Let's quickly have a quick run through the three promoted teams. So, all very different coming up. Wolverhampton Wanderers. Saw them a couple of times last season in the Cup and then in the Championship. Play good football, Nuno Espirito Santo. We know that they're bringing good quality of players. These are linked to Jorge Mendes, one of the
super agents
who gets players, whether it's on loan or brings players in. Mm. So there's quality been brought into the football club already. For Wolves, kind of feel that they're not in bad shape.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, 99 points last year. They won the championship, by far the best side. Yeah. They've spent a little bit of money. This George Mendes thing, it doesn't sound like it should be important, but it is because of his contacts, because of players that know him that go there. Joe Moutinho isn't going to that football club without some kind of link to I don't know, to something, and he's got that with the agent and other Portuguese players there. It's very much a 3-4-3 system that they play Wolves. I think they're going to be okay, you know. And you don't often say that with teams coming up. I've read so much stuff about Wolves, and by the way, it's over the top. They're like, you know what? We're not even not weird, but there's been comment like they don't need to worry about relegation. They're going to be absolutely fine. They're a Premier League team playing in the Championship last season. If they got Premier League quality, good.
Be careful. We've heard a lot of that before, Rob. And this time next year, you're sitting back in the Championship, showing what happened
absolutely.
There. You know what I mean, and coming into it thinking that you're going to outplay teams.
It's
you're not going to come from
world,
the Championship.
Mate.
Absolutely.
We've done it many times. That Championship to the Premier League is different world. It really is.
For one thing, I always say when you do make that change is you make a mistake defensively in the Premier League, more often than not, you get punished. You make a mistake in Championship, 50-50 maybe, even less than that, that you get punished. The strikers and the attacking talent in the Premier League will hurt you. So if they come in there thinking that it's going to be easy, it won't be. But I'm sure with the manager and the quality of signings, they've got to feel that they're going to give themselves a chance. How about our old friend? He's back, Neil Warnock. I mean, you have to tip your hat to the old guy.
Got automatic
promotion again from the Championship. This guy certainly knows how to do it. Been in management, 40 years now? Cardiff being his 15th club. He struggled a little bit when he's got into the Premier League, Rob. Hasn't got a great record there, or some might say great reputation when he's been in the Premier League. Can he see this one through? Can he manoeuvre a way for Cardiff to be outside that bottom three come next week?
You know what? This is what's great about English football, isn't it? I mean, we talk about the silky teams and all that, and I think that's the way that football's gone in the Premier League over recent years. Just get ready to go back in time. Get ready, everybody. Get ready to go back in time. This guy is direct football. He smashes it from back to front. It's long throw-ins. It's physicality. They got this big, great Dane up front, Ken Zahore, that's going to get on the end of things. They got runners from midfield. Patterson was a top goal scorer.
Yeah.
They're aggressive. They force their opponents back by hitting long balls. Hitting long balls, pressurising. They're probably going to be the fittest team in the league.
Like it, Wimbledon style.
It's Wimbledon style, it's Stoke style, it's aggression, and it comes from the guy. It comes from this guy who's had 8 promotions, the most, I think, in any manager, Neil Warnock, 69 years of age now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited to see them. That's the positive side. The struggle side is they haven't got enough Premier League quality. They've made 4 signings, Rob. They're all from the Championship. And let me leave you with this stat that he said himself, Neil Warnock, about going into the Premier League. And he just said, just to remind everybody, our budget is going to be just over half of Huddersfield's. So that's what he's looking at. But can that style, that aggression, those tactics keep them up? I doubt it, but you know what?
You doubt
it's going
to
be
Rob,
fun
but
to
you
watch
know
it.
What? Sometimes if you stick to what the game plan is, you go to enough games and play enough teams who don't fancy it, who have that reputation, this is Cardiff, they're just going to go long. Listen, sometimes that earns you 10 points a season. Those extra 10 points a season might be the difference of staying up and staying down. In some respect, it's maybe I'll say the beauty, but some may say the beast of the Premier League. It's about all types, it's about all styles, and not one thing is meant for everybody. And Neil Warnock's got to do what he thinks is the right thing, the best opportunity to keep Cardiff up. And if it's banging it long and getting the balls in your box and playing a little bit of Route 1.
Well, it is for them.
And they've got to see if they're good enough, if that's going to be good enough to keep them in the league. Fulham's an interesting one, Rob, because it came up. Through the playoffs, a couple of decent signings. Andre Schürrle's on loan from Borussia Dortmund,
brilliant,
but he's had experience at Chelsea. Alexander Mitrovic has come in now. We saw he was on loan from Newcastle last season, done a particularly good job. Michael, Jean-Michel Seri has come in with a combined deal of about $40 million, the same with, was it, Maxi Lamarchand from Nice. So they've obviously got good scouts in and around Europe. And then Alfie Mawson, they've snapped him up from Swansea. I think is a player who... gives his all, will get better, is young, you know, got a call up to the England squad recently. So, and then the likes of Sessegnon, Ryan Sessegnon, who's this 18-year-old left winger, wing back, who's been flying up and down the wing. Lots of talk that the big Premier League clubs were looking at him. So, just get the sense there's a little bit of buzz about Fulham, and there's a little bit of optimism that maybe they can come up and stay up.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, of course, when we know which teams come up to Premier League, then we start to watch them. And I've watched quite a few recent games of Fulham, and they're a lovely footballing side.
They're a
silky team. They dominate the ball. The midfield three, for me, when I look at them, is their strength. Tom Kearney, we know, is their star player, but he's a lovely footballer. I mean, he keeps it well. You have Stefan Johansson as well. Now, whether it's going to be Seri that comes in there, I think it's Kevin McDonald, the other midfield player.
Yeah, McDonald.
That's kind of the strength, as well as that star player, that 16 goals in all competitions last season, Championship Player of the Season, Ryan Sessegnon, of course. And a hungry manager. So, that for me is the positive signs. Where I would worry about that a little bit is, and I'll ask you the question, that silky style and with those players and with Mitrovic that didn't really do it for Newcastle in the Premier League, could they be, Robbie Earle, a little bit soft, thinking that the football that they play is going to be is going to be good enough in a powerful Premier League that possession isn't always what it's cracked up to be. I'm just a little bit worried that the football isn't going to be enough. Rob, isn't going to be enough.
I think they've got an experienced manager. Maybe not that experienced in Premier League terms, but he's a manager who's been around football for a while. He'll get that. I think there might need to be some tweaks, some adaptions to that. They're playing better teams sometimes than them with more talent. So you're not always going to dominate the ball. So I assume they'll be working on training on there. And if I could think of a club who they maybe should mirror, Rob, it would be Bournemouth.
Yeah, it would be.
Bournemouth didn't go too far away. At times they had to play a little bit different. At times they had to be a little bit more defensive and organised. But when they got the ball, they retained their personality. They played to who they were and got the best out of the players. And now it's four seasons that Bournemouth have been in the Premier League. That's the marker that Fulham have to follow if they're going to go. Fulham can't do Cardiff style. Fulham can't boutique them because then Sessegnon doesn't get in the game. The midfield players who you say can control possession can't get in the game. So they've got to play their way with a little bit of adaptions, knowing that you're playing Kevin De Bruyne 1 week, Paul Pogba the next week, you know, Mo Salah the next week. You're playing players who can do things at the drop of a hat. But I like when teams retain their personality and say, this is who we are and this is how we play and this is how we're going to test you.
I mean, you think of a front three, and again, Rob, so often we talk about it. It could come down to the centre forward. The wide left, Ryan Sessegnon, brilliant. Andre Schürrle, probably play wide from the right-hand side. And if Mitrovic... is the same guy and he can keep the goal scoring going from the Championship into the Premier League. Yeah, if he gets 15 goals with those two wide players, with that kind of nice silky midfield that I talked about, and with a little bit of, they've got a new left back, Le Marchand, like you said, from Nice and Mawson, they could do it. They could be absolutely fine if all those things pop into place. One last thing I want to talk about, just quickly mention, when I watch the games, because the possession's so good, Rob, they're on the front foot a lot. They're high. Yeah, yeah. So their defenders are high.
Yeah.
Could they get caught with pace when it does turn over and these Premier League sides just pop the ball in behind with some quick forward? So,
but you'd hope Mawson going in there has had a couple of years at Swansea. You know, if he drags him 10 yards deeper and starts talking about there, hopefully that kind of influence. Yeah. But listen, sometimes it's a quick learning curve. You get in, you play your first 3-4 games and you have to learn quickly that things might have to change. You don't have the ball and it's about how you adapt and how you move to things. But
Tim Ream is worth worth a mention, Rob. American centre-back. Oh, yeah. Named the player of the year last season for Fulham.
Mm.
Very good on the ball. Again, Tim Ream. What a big season coming up for him. Can he handle that intensity, that pace of the Premier League? But when you just
I
kind of map
it
out on
chance,
paper.
Robbie,
yeah,
Mustard.
I do
Something
too.
Tells
I do.
Me, I think
I do.
They've got a chance.
No, I do.
You know,
I just have
a
one little worry
those
about
those who
football.
Have the ball.
Yeah,
those
I know.
Who have the ball then don't. And Fulham, it took a while. It took a lot of hard work to get back into the Premier League. Remember the days of Clint Dempsey, Brian McBride, Carlos Bocanegra, Eddie Johnson, plenty of famous American players who've played at Fulham, and as you say, Tim Ream is the latest of them, and we'll see if they can stay the duration in the Premier League and make sure they finish outside the bottom three. I'm afraid, mate, that's a wrap for us. I think we've gone through most of these teams. That's it from us. We want to hear from you, our listeners, though. Firstly, we'd love you to rate and review the show by downloading The Two Robbies on Apple Podcasts. But also let us know who you think will be the top four and who's got to worry about the drop. So give us your top four in their order and your bottom three to go down, and we'll read out the best responses on our next podcast. So we're 7 days away from the start of the new Premier League season when Robbie Mustard, anything is possible. We can dream of titles, perhaps it's Champions League spots, or is it just survival? Whatever the ambition, let's wait for the big kickoff. That's it from us. I'm Earl. He's Musto. Together with the two Robbies, thanks for listening and bye for now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.